thought I was going to have to introduce myself, but that was perfect. Thank you for having me today. So I'm here to discuss the impacts of excess nitrogen supply on single season versus multiple year nitrogen use efficiencies in a 3-year cropping rotation featuring spring canola, spring pea, and winter wheat. So I would like to begin by introducing the various nitrogen fates of or fates of fertilizer nitrogen in the plant-soil cropping system. And so Gardner and Drinkwater performed a recent meta-analysis looking at 217 field and 15 studies under grain cropping systems and various management scenarios. And what they found was that the crop took up 33% of the N15 fertilizer, and 21% of that was exported in grain. Now, 38% was unaccounted for, and so that was presumed to be lost through different gaseous and leaching pathways. Now, that leaves almost a third of the fertilizer was actually retained by the soil. And I've been working on a meta-analysis that is in progress, and I've gone through a couple dozen papers, and I've seen that between 2 and 9% of previous fertilizer additions, as well as labeled residues with N15, are actually recovered by subsequent crops. And so this idea of the contribution of soil nitrogen to plant uptake influences our interpretation of nitrogen use efficiency. And so this is a good example. Sowers in 1994 performed an N15 study. And what she found was that 28% of the fertilizer nitrogen was taken up by wheat, 22% of which was exported in grain. Now, when she considered the whole entire nitrogen supply, she actually found that almost 60% of the nitrogen supply was recovered. And then when she focused in on the available nitrogen pool, she found that almost 80% was recovered. And a lot of this has to do with more than 60% of the plant nitrogen is actually derived from non-fertilizer sources. And so this brings us to the objectives of our study. First was to determine the effects of over-optimal fertilization on the nitrogen uptake and partitioning of canola, and also to look at the accumulation of nitrogen in the root zone at harvest. And then we wanted to assess the potential contribution of residue, crop residue, and root nitrogen carryover on the nitrogen uptake and apparent nitrogen recovery by two subsequent crops. So remember, we have a 3-year cropping sequence. And then we also wanted to determine the effect of spring pea in the second year on the nitrogen balance. And so we had two site locations for this study. The first is in Davenport, Washington, which is about 30 miles west of Spokane. It lies in the annual fallow and transition zone, and so it receives only 319 millimeters of precipitation a year. It has a broad exit loam with a 2.5% organic matter content and a pH near 6. Our second location is a little bit south in Pullman, Washington. This is home of Washington State University. It lies in the annual cropping zone, and it receives relatively more precipitation, 567 millimeters. It also has a silt loam that has a relatively more or greater organic matter content and a lower pH. And so this is the cropping sequence that I focused upon. And so in the year of fertilizer application, we had a Roundup Ready canola. And it was seeded after winter wheat and direct seeded, so no-till system. And we selected three fertilizer treatments. We had 0, 89 or 179 kilograms of nitrogen as urea per hectare, and this was also we also supplied sulfur as well. Now, in the second year of the cropping sequence, so residual year one, we split these plots longitudinally, and we planted either spring pea or spring wheat. And now, in this second year, no fertilizer was applied. And the reason why we had wheat were, we had two reasons. First, we wanted to look at the relative effect of P on the nitrogen balance. And the second is we wanted to use wheat as a bioassay to monitor nitrogen mineralization. And in the third year, this is 2 years after fertilization of canola, we planted winter wheat. And now this received either zero, so again, to monitor nitrogen mineralization, or a given amount of nitrogen, phosphorus, or sulfur. And for the measurements that we took, we wanted to monitor soil and plant nitrogen. And so we collected pre-plant and post-harvest samples for ammonium and nitrate determination in the top 4 feet. And then for plant, we monitored the above-ground nitrogen. And we combined combine yield samples with hand-harvested meter samples to determine the nitrogen partitioning into grain and residue. And then here is a picture of one of our sites. And so what you can see here is that in this year, every phase of the cropping sequence is here. So we have canola, and then following the 2012 canola, we had peas and wheat, winter wheat here, and then here, this is currently out of phase. We had four replicates, randomized complete block design, and plots that were 7.5 by 50 feet. And so we used different equations to try to monitor the different nitrogen dynamics. And so for the first two, what we did is we used apparent nitrogen mineralization. So this is any the amount of the plant nitrogen, or the above ground nitrogen, that wasn't accounted for by the change in inorganic nitrogen in the soil between planting harvests. And then we also have apparent nitrogen fixation, and this is from the piece. So what we did is we took the difference between the apparent nitrogen mineralization under P versus that under spring wheat, and we assumed that any excess above that was due to nitrogen fixation. And then we also wanted to get an idea of the efficiency of the system. And so what we did is we employed two other calculations to look at nitrogen uptake efficiency. And for a rotational standpoint, we have the sum of the crop in uptake over the sum of the in supply. And in supply was defined as total fertilizer nitrogen, the apparent nitrogen mineralization, as well as the initial pre-plant inorganic nitrogen content in that first year. And then for the apparent fertilizer nitrogen recovery, we looked at the gain in crop nitrogen uptake in fertilized plants versus unfertilized plants over the increment of nitrogen fertilizer applied. Okay, so for our results, so here we show in the first year, so we have canola in the year fertilizer application, and we looked up, we looked at the nitrogen uptake as well as the partitioning into grain and residue nitrogen, as well as the accumulation of the inorganic nitrogen in the soil at canola harvest. And what we found that at the highest fertilizer treatment, so this is nitrogen supply differentiated by different nitrogen rates, we saw an increase in about 40 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in the canola. Now 20 to 40 kilograms of this was accumulated in the soil or the residue. And so we have two questions. First is, what is the impact of this nitrogen carryover from the soil and residue on subsequent crops? And then not only that, but if you consider that we added 179 kilograms of nitrogen, there's a lot of nitrogen unaccounted for. So what is the effect on subsequent crops? And so, and this is in the year after canola, we planted spring wheat. So remember, this is a reference crop. And we, again, looked at nitrogen uptake as well as apparent nitrogen mineralization following canola. And canola, I'd like just to remind you that we had 0.89 or 179 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, R1 standing for residual year one. And what we see here is that at both sites, we have a significant increase in nitrogen uptake following canola's higher rate of fertilization. And this was replicated 3 years. And then what we also did is we partitioned the nitrogen that was contributed by the apparent nitrogen mineralization. And we found at the higher rainfall site, we actually had a significant increase in apparent nitrogen mineralization following the higher rates of canola fertilizer. But we did not find this in the lower rainfall site, which was more reliant on residual nitrogen sources. And also, we didn't see any differences in post-harvest residual nitrogen after the spring wheat in the second year. Okay, and so now we want to compare this with the spring wheat. So we're still in the second year after canola, residual year one, and this is our agronomic crop of interest. And so we wanted to look at the above-ground pea nitrogen, as well as apparent nitrogen fixation, and residual or post-harvest residual inorganic nitrogen at pea harvest. And what we found like the spring wheat, we had an increase of about 30 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare following greater rates of canola fertilization. Now, apparent nitrogen fixation ranged between 25 and 60% of the team nitrogen. Now, unlike wheat, what we found is that there were relatively greater quantities of inorganic nitrogen remaining in the soil at pea harvest. And so we wanted to really hone in on the interaction of pea and previous fertilizer history in the last year of the cropping sequence with winter wheat. So this is 2 years after canola fertilization. And what we find here is, again, in the second year, we have a increase, generally, it's not significant, in nitrogen uptake by the winter wheat following greater rates of fertilization 2 years prior. And then we also wanted to really hone in on the effect of pea on this nitrogen balance. And so if you look at this table down here, like we saw in the previous slide, we have about 12 to 32 or 33 more kilograms of nitrogen per hectare remaining in the soil pea harvest relative to the spring wheat. However, the apparent nitrogen mineralization following pea was not significantly different than the wheat. And so when we saw an uptake that was enhanced following pea relative to wheat by winter wheat, we attributed that more to an increase in nitrogen supply, the inorganic nitrogen content, as well as some rotational effects. Because if you look here, the nitrogen uptake efficiency was greater after pea than wheat, so maybe the roots were healthier. And so finally, to synthesize all this results, we wanted to look at the efficiency of the entire system, the whole 3 years of the cropping sequence. And so we focused in both locations in the 2011 to 2013 sequence. And what we found is we increased nitrogen supply through that differential fertilization the first year, as well as differences in nitrogen cycling in the subsequent years. However, we also saw that we increased crop nitrogen uptake over the 3 years. Now, only half of this, so we increased it by 60 to 80 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Only half of that occurred in the first year. Half of that occurred in the second and third year. And then also, the canola reached near optimal yields at this middle 89 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare rate. And interestingly, we see that the rotational nitrogen uptake efficiency was greatest at that rate. Okay, and then finally, I just want to hone in on the effect of high fertilization on nitrogen uptake and apparent nitrogen recovery. So if you just look at the single season, if you just look at the canola alone, what we see is that the nitrogen uptake efficiency from the soil in supply was quite low, so 23 to 37%. And if you look at the apparent nitrogen recovery of that fertilizer, of that 179 kilograms nitrogen fertilizer, we see only 9 to 13% was recovered. But if you consider the entire 3 years and you look at the effect of fertilization, we see the nitrogen uptake efficiency in that 3 years was 36 to 45, so we have an increase in efficiency. And then if you look at the apparent nitrogen recovery of that 179 kilograms of nitrogen per year, over the 3 years, we actually see that 31 to 61% was actually recovered. So we're seeing that nitrogen cycling. So in conclusion, over-fertilization resulted in only 20 to 40 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare carried over. So where's the nitrogen? 31 to 41 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare were recycled in the first and second year, so we see some cycling. But we do see more nitrogen taken up by the crops, so we increased from 44 to 67 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So there's got to be some rotational effects as well. And I'd just like to show you my acknowledgments and take any questions.
We have time for one really quick question. Betty.
Yeah.
Why you use Hendrix, Laney, and Demeter depth? Because that's not usual for the
The 120 centimeter depth? Because that's what I have data to 150 centimeters to a 5 foot depth. Our spring crops, I think 4 feet is pretty common, but for winter wheat, we should probably go down to the 150 centimeter depth. But a lot of our fertilizer recommendations in eastern Washington consider the top 4 depth. And so this study is actually part of a larger study that's a canola fertility trial. And so that's why we have those wide ranges, and that's why we have stuck with the 4-foot depth. But if you do you suggest that we include the 5-foot? Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Excellent job.